Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 266, Walking by the Spirit, Part 3, Baptism into New Life. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, July 3rd, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's an exciting day. Praise the Lord. There's something special today. It's the anointing of God in this place. We were praying this morning, and it was just sort of electric. And the Lord told me the need meter is here today. So that goes along with what Pastor shared, with what Sister Ellie shared, and when she was talking about he's here to meet needs. I thought, yeah, he told me I'm the need meter and I'm here today. So, and I'm showing up. So praise the Lord. Just to share also, when I was praying over this message, the Lord showed me a picture of somebody receiving a gift, somebody opening a gift. So take that for yourself. Take the gift. Praise the Lord. He is so good. All right, let's just jump right in. I know we've had a lot. Is everyone doing okay? Do you need to stand up for a second? Doing all right? If you need to, stand up. It's okay. All right. So we've been doing a series, Walking in the Spirit, right? Walking by the Spirit. This is part three. And so last week we talked about crucifying the flesh, right? We talked about the conflict that exists between our flesh and the Spirit, right? It's a doozy, right? You feel that every day? Like, you want to say something? You have it. Pastor talked about attitudes. We repented for our attitudes, but sometimes we have an attitude about something, and it's like, my flesh just wants to come out, and we have to crucify that, right? The Bible tells us that we need to walk by the Spirit. So, because that way we walk in victory when we walk by the Spirit. So this weekend we're celebrating freedom. Praise the Lord. The freedom that we have in our nation. And also we celebrate the freedom with which Christ set us free, right? Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me. And that's freedom. So let freedom ring. And what better way than to talk about baptism? So today is the third part, baptism into new life. And I just want to read this, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, if then you have been raised by Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek, it's an action. Look for, right? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, like you set a table, set your alarm. You set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And then, Apostle Paul here goes on to instruct about putting to death whatever belongs to the earthly, fleshly nature, right? When we talk about flesh and the struggle between flesh and the Spirit, flesh refers to not just our physical flesh, but our sinful nature that we're all born into, right? It's like our appetites and our impulses, our desires, right? So today we're going to shift a little bit to look at baptism and how baptism is a significant step in the life of a believer to put the sinful nature to death and be raised to life with Christ Jesus, right? It's an important step that he commands us in the Bible really to do. So let's take a look. So in the biblical times where Jesus lived and he ministered in Israel, there was a concept of ritual bathing. And men and women would like ceremonially wash, like cleanse themselves from the dirt and the grime, so to speak, the defilement of the world, the outside world. Jesus and his disciples came preaching and calling people to be baptized in water to do that same thing, to symbolize the cleansing that takes place through their faith. So baptism plays a great part of the Great Commission. We see this in Matthew 28. We know this verse by heart, right? Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus commanded his disciples, he says to us, go, there's lots of actions in here, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. This is what we're called to do. We're called to go and make disciples, and we're called to dunk them in the water, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Are we in agreement? That's what your Bible says? Okay, that's what mine says. Good job. We're in unity. Moving onward. So in Acts 2, what a powerful chapter of the Bible, or yeah, book. Chapter of the Bible is Acts 2. It was the day of Pentecost, right? And the disciples and Jesus followers, they were all gathered, right, in the upper room, and they were told to stay there and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Exciting. The tongues of fire from the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And they began speaking in other tongues. And the crowd observed the scene and didn't understand what was happening because they were speaking in their tongues. So they recognized their different languages being spoken. And some, they were ridiculing and, you know, made fun of this crowd. Like, what? They've been drinking, you know. And Peter stands up and boldly, this Holy Spirit comes on him, and he addresses the crowd and he says, you know, no, they haven't been drinking. And he preaches the gospel to them with power. It's a powerful scene. Go read it this week. It's awesome. So anyways, we're going to take a look at a little piece of it. So Acts 2, verse 36, we'll start there, through 41. It says this, let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. These are Peter's words. He's addressing the crowd right after this happened with the people receiving, the crowd receiving the tongues of fire and the Holy Spirit. So he says, now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, because he's declaring here that that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Amazing. An amazing scene. Yeah, wow. That deserves a wow. So going back into this, let's look at some of the verses here. Verses 36 and verse 37, right? Peter declares, he makes this declaration after this amazing thing happens. He declares that Jesus was Lord and Christ. What happened? They were cut to the heart. That means the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction on them, like, oh, yes, conviction came. And they wanted to know, what shall they do? Have you ever had somebody run to you and say, how do I be saved? What must I do? It's a good question. It's a fun question to answer, because it's like, give it to me, you know? It's just served to you on a platter. So verse 38, Peter responds here that the starting points of what a person must do are repentance. It says repent from your sins, and water baptism. Two keys here, which lead to forgiveness of sins. So repentance is really key for us in understanding baptism and really choosing to make Jesus our Lord and Savior. Repentance means turning. So if I'm going this way, we're talking about, you know, in the struggle in this series, the struggle of sin and our sinful nature and our flesh. That's what we're born into. So I'm walking this way in my sinful nature self. I'm walking this way. Repentance is, oh, conviction comes. I get cut to the heart and I turn and I change direction. That's repentance. It's like a 180 degree turn and I'm going this way. Hell is over here, separate from God, right? In my sinful nature. And this way is eternal life, is Jesus, is relationship. There's abundance of life. And I have to turn. I have to make a decision based on what, the Lord is speaking to my heart. When he cuts me to the heart, I must respond, right? And turn the other way. So that's repentance, going then in the different direction. So we must have conviction of our sin and understand that we need Jesus. Without that, it's like, well, I can do it on my own. Why do I need a Savior? Right? We need to have this. It's important to have this repentant heart, to have this conviction of, you know what? I've messed up. And I keep messing up when I try to do it on my own. And I can't do it without him. I need a Savior, right? The Bible says we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. None of us is exempt from that. It says all. That's everybody, right? So we all need to recognize that we need a Savior. And every day we need a Savior. I received Jesus myself. I recommitted my life to him. Oh my gosh, I think it's almost 20 years ago. But I need a Savior every day to walk with me, right? And we need his forgiveness. But it starts with that repentance. It starts with, okay, Lord, I can't keep going this way because I'm going to bang my head against the wall. And you didn't create me for that, right? He created us for life and life abundantly. So repentance is important. And we receive, when the Bible says, when we receive or when we recognize our sin and ask forgiveness, we receive that. We receive the forgiveness of the Lord. And that's a powerful thing, not to be taken lightly. So back to the verse here, verse 39. Who is the promise for? It's all, right? Peter says, the promise applies to you and your children and all who are far off. For all the Lord will call. He wants to call everybody, right? But who will respond? Then Peter exhorts them to save themselves from this crooked generation. Like you're going off the cliff walking this way. Save yourselves from that, right? Turn this way. Turn this way. Well, you will find Jesus. He's the way and the truth and the life. He's the way out from a life connected to the crooked generation. Amen. Yes. So then verse 41 says, those who received his word were baptized. They got dunked, fully immersed in the water, not just a sprinkling, fully immersed. And we're going to talk about the meanings of that or the significance of that. So we don't really know, did everyone that was there receive it? Maybe not. I don't know. But about 3,000 souls were added that day. That's powerful. So maybe there were some in the crowd that heard that but didn't make the choice. Right? But 3,000 did, praise the Lord. And from there, the church blew up. It expanded. It grew. Right? Baptism is a public display of what God has done on the inside of you. You know, Christ Jesus causes a direction, like we talked about the repentance, a direction of a change of in your heart, in your life. And then faith comes, right? Repentance and forgiveness occurs in a person's life. And the Bible commands us to share that publicly with those around us, to testify to what he has done on the inside of you. So, okay, let's look at the New Testament. It uses four different illustrations to help us to understand the significance of water baptism. The first one that we commonly think of is the burial and the resurrection, right? Romans 6, verses 3 through 8. if you want to follow along, you can. Romans 6, verses 3, we'll start at verse 3. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." So this scripture is making that illustration, that comparison there, that saying that baptism is like a burial and resurrection, right? When Christ died and we are baptized, we go under the water, like just like some, when somebody is buried, they go under the earth, right? So it symbolizes that death and burial. We are united with him, this word says, in death. And verse 6 says that our old self, our flesh, our carnal nature, was crucified along with Jesus. That means it's crucified, it's dead, right? Sin causing death in our lives gets buried when we go under the water and we come back up free, right? If this little jacket represents the sinful nature, I go under the water and I come back up and I don't have it on anymore. The sinful nature is gone. It's been buried with Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it symbolizes when we go under the water and come back up, it symbolizes a new life for us. Verse 4 that we just read says, we can walk in a new life. We're no longer enslaved to sin. That becomes a thing of the past. Praise the Lord. We're new creatures in Christ. Okay, so that's the first one, burial and resurrection. The second illustration is the Israelites crossing the Red Sea when they escaped from Egypt. Do you ever think about this or read this scripture? And it's saying this is a comparison. Let's look at it. This is a comparison of an illustration of baptism. So 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2. It says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud," right? The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, that when the Israelites were coming out, right, of Egypt, out of the wilderness. Sorry, I start preaching and I forget to read the rest of the verse. Let's start over. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." They passed through the sea, right? "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So the Israelites, you know, what happens, right? God moves the cloud. We'll just say the cloud. Help me, Jesus. Move the cloud behind, right? In between, so that the Egyptians could not see, right? And then Moses parts the water when God gives him the command, right? He parts the water and the Israelites pass through on dry ground, pass through. And so what was behind them is Egypt. It's slavery, right? Our old sinful nature once again. So crossing through is like baptism, crossing through, passing through, and on the other side is new life, new relationship with God. It's a freedom from the bondage that kept us back in Egypt, right? And it's a crossing over into freedom. Jesus purchased that freedom for us. Okay, so the third one is circumcision. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So baptism here is being compared to circumcision. So when we put off the body of flesh, it's like the old self is being cut away. That's what happens, right, in circumcision. The old self and its sinful nature is cut away. And that's the representation. That's what's happening when we are baptized. The Greek word points to like a stripping off, just like, you know, taking something off and casting it away. We did that today too, right? Casting something away or discarding like a filthy garment, right? And we are raised with Christ through the power of God. We are new and free. Praise the Lord. So a sincere baptism shows that circumcision of the heart has taken place, that God has cut away in your heart. Like it said when we read Acts 2, they were cut to the heart when he preached about who Jesus was. God does that inside to us, to a person that he's preparing to become a believer and come to faith in him. The old self is cut away in our heart and we are new in Christ. So we have the burial and resurrection, the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, leaving Egypt and the life of bondage behind. We have circumcision, and the fourth illustration of baptism is the flood. And this is in 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21. And I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. So this is talking about when Jesus died. Let's start it. It's like the verses aren't full sentences. It starts in the middle of a sentence. So I'll just back it up to verse 19. It says, he went in the spiritual realm. So this is talking about Jesus when he died. He went in the spiritual realm and made a proclamation to the spirits that in prison. Verse 20, because of their disobedience of long ago. For during the time of Noah, God patiently waited while the ark was being prepared. But only a few were brought safely through the flood waters, a total of 8 souls. That was Noah and his family, right? They were brought through the flood waters. This was a prophetic picture of the immersion or the baptism, but I like how they describe there the immersion, fully immersed, that now saves you. Not a bathing of the physical body, but rather the response of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is now in heaven at the place of supreme authority next to God. The very powers of heaven, including every angel and authority, now yield in submission to him. Okay, praise the Lord. So Peter is saying here that the flood waters during the time of Noah represent or symbolize baptism. Peter teaches that this removal of dirt from the body, that's not actually what saves you. Just the fact that you are baptized, that's not your ticket into heaven. That's not what guarantees your salvation. But rather, it's the resurrection of Jesus. Because it's not something that we do. It's what he did, right? And so then, therefore, it's our faith placed in what Jesus did for us that saves us. And then afterwards, you know, that conviction and that faith that he cuts away in our heart, right? Then it's the baptism is the outward symbol of that, the outward display to show my friends and family and those around me and my church, you know, family that, hey, I am making Jesus Lord of my life because he died for me. And I believe that God sent Jesus to raise him from the dead, and he lives, and he lives inside of my heart because I've chosen him. Right? So that's what Peter is saying here, that it's not being baptized that saves you. Okay, so we have those four illustrations. And I just want to give give an opportunity. We're talking about faith. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about, you know, we are all born into this sinful nature going this way, separate from God. And I just want to, you know, never assume. I was taught in my YWAM missionary training never to assume anything. And I just want to present an opportunity because we also have friends and people listening on social media. And perhaps people that will listen back to the replay. But I just want to give an opportunity for anybody who has not yet repented and changed direction of the course of their life and who has not given Jesus the green light and said, you know, I believe that I can't do it on my own. And I've messed up. And without you, Lord, I will continue to mess up. And I want you as Lord and Savior, because I believe that you sent, or that God sent Jesus to die for me and to take my sins, to forgive me, and that he did that because he wants me to have abundant life. I just want to present that opportunity to anybody here in the sanctuary or anybody under the sound of my voice or maybe listening to the podcast a few months from now to do that, because this is your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny depends on this. We can live forever with him, the Bible promises. We sang that, John 3:16, the song about it, right? We will live, those who put their trust and their faith in Jesus will live an eternal life forever. Or we can, the other, not going to leave that off because that's the truth. The other side is we will live apart from God. You will live separate from him. So, and not only eternal life, what about here? What about every day that I live and that I have remaining on this earth? I can live in his abundant life now. It starts now. Today is the day of salvation. And like I said, I need a Savior every day. He rescues and he saves me every day from things, from my own self, right? And so why don't you just, if that's you, just open your heart to receive, because he's the need meter, but he first wants to call you to himself because he loves you so much. And so if that's you, just repeat this short, simple prayer after me. Father God, I choose today to repent of all my sins, and I change direction. I choose you as my Lord and Savior. Help me, Jesus, to walk with you every day. I believe that God sent you to die for me, to forgive me of my sins, and that you rose again, and that I will experience your abundant life. Not only in heaven eternally, but here now on this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and setting me free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I did that almost 20 years ago, and I can tell you I'm a totally different person today. Praise the Lord. I could tell you so many stories, but God is good, and he is faithful, and he just draws us to himself to make that first step. So, in conclusion, about baptism, it's a public display of what Jesus did through his death and resurrection when one says, yes, I chose Jesus, and I continue to choose him every day. We show that we've identified with his burial and his resurrection. And so by obeying that command to be baptized, we identify with the power of the cross and the resurrection to deliver us completely from the power and the authority of sin. It has no more power and authority over us anymore when we have chosen Jesus. He's the authority over my life now, not sin. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Acts 22, verse 16, this is the last verse. It says, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So that's like, why are you waiting? Come on. So I'm going to call Pam and Aaliyah. Why wait? Let's rise and be baptized, ladies, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forever. So these bold and courageous ladies have, I'm going to let them talk. They've chosen Jesus. And so today is a special day that they're going to make that public display, that show from their heart what's happened on the inside. So I asked them to just share from their heart a statement of faith. Since this is a public, you know, ceremony, if you will, public display of what God has done, I will be quiet and let them share. Thank you. Who's first?
Okay. I've come to realize that, well, first of all, let me just say that I was saved when I was 9. So
up so everyone can hear you online.
I totally understand that Jesus died for me, that he rose again, and that I was saved at that point. What I never really realized until I started coming to this church was that when he died and he rose again, we were given authority over the enemy.
Yeah.
And I have just learned so much here. And the other thing I've come to understand is that I have truly never given my entire heart to God. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to surrender my entire heart to him.
Amen.
That's all.
Awesome.
Yay!
Awesome.
Hello, my name is Aaliyah Springer. You know, God's been running after me my whole life. And I thought I was walking alongside him in unity. I was sprinkled as a baby. I thought I was all good, baptized, saved. But something was missing. Something wasn't ever quite right. I couldn't just fully let go of my sinful nature. I tried and I tried, and I was like, well, I'm human. I'm a sinner. It is what it is. No, we don't have to live that way. God is so faithful and amazing, and through changes that have happened in my life and powerful shifts that God has graciously given to me, I've come to understand that today is my birthday, and I am dying to my old self. I don't have to be addicted to food. I don't have to be quick to anger. I don't have to get upset when someone cuts me off in traffic.
Amen.
Just because we're human, we don't have to be in those sinful ways. So when I come out of the water today, woo! Guys, I'm going to be free. And God is my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he lives in me. And it's something that It's life-changing. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this day. I didn't realize how much I've been waiting for this day, but same as Pam coming to this church and having revelation of, like, we don't have to live this way. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a giant leap every day. Like, today's going to be a huge leap for Pam and I, as long as we're continuing to take steps forward, always in faith for Jesus, being obedient, listening to his voice. Life is so good. It doesn't have to be hard.
Amen.
And I just could talk forever, but I'm just, thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Okay, so praise the Lord. I wish you would get excited. I don't need this. Okay, I've got double mic going on. That's funny. She's in the back going, you don't need the mic. You're hooked up. All right. Okay, well, I'm just hold it. I want to say that how we define being a disciple of Jesus is important. Discipleship is important. That's what we're called to in Matthew 28:19, right? It says, I'm thinking of a different verse, go and make disciples, right, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that we looked at. And so we're making disciples here at this church. That's our vision. That's our understanding from the Bible, what God has told us to do. And so, you know, I just want to ask you then, both of you, you know, do you understand this definition of disciple? Do you agree with it? The way we define disciple here at MFH, my Father's house, is somebody who's following Jesus, somebody who's transformed by Jesus, and somebody who's on mission with Jesus. So do you agree with that? Is that your heart and you understand that that's your identity?
1,000% yes.
Is that still on? Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I totally understand that.
Okay. And you all heard Aaliyah, right?
Yes.
She said 1,000 times yes.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give them a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.
It's only fitting that we get baptized on the same day since we started here on the same day.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.